Sunday school lesson. For any of you that have really studied the Old Testament, there are some words that come out all the time. And as a Sunday school teacher, teaching the Old Testament, these words are so interesting because they say, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they're in there so many times. And you stop and think, after all God had done for them, they still did evil. That's the choice they made to do in the sight of the Lord. And in today's lesson, they got taken by the king of Assyria, and the priest warned them, and then God sent in lions. I think how things change as we get older. I was listening to Caleb. I'm showing them pictures around. And he thought that was kind of silly. But you know what? Sometimes we know things and we don't do them. But we have to learn. We have to learn. And sometimes God puts us back on the potter's wheel. And he teaches us again and again and again. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we learned the first or second or third time?
Myself once more, my faults and frailties bring me here just like before, with strong and loving hands, the pressure is applied. Oft times I tremble as he puts me through the fire. I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. He has a perfect plan these human eyes can't see. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He knows just how much I can take. When I face the fire again, I'll trust the potter's hand. His hands work deep inside, and he makes no mistakes. Though I seem to crumble down and can hardly stand the pain, but into his own design, he's molding me, I know. Though my world spins around, the potter's in control. I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. He has a perfect plan. These human again, I'll trust the potter's hands. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He knows just how much I can take when I face the fire again. I'll trust the potter.
Thank you, Karen. Let's go ahead and turn to number 285. Number 285, as we stand, when the roll is called up yonder. Number 285, as we stand together.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
At this time, all children can be dismissed downstairs to or over to their classroom. We'll be on hymn number 285, verse 2.
On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. God bless you. Amen. One thing I've noticed about Caleb, he looks a lot tireder. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I don't think he's been getting quite enough sleep lately. Anyway, we're glad that everything is well with Mama and with baby. All right, here we are, October 15th. October is my favorite month of the year. How many of you like October? All right, how many of you were born in October? All right, special group of people. Oh, yes, you didn't know that? Oh, the finest people are born in October. October. It means the Lord has let me stay around for another year. I didn't hear any amens on that one. Okay. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. This morning, I'm going to bring a Bible study that I'd like you to join in with me. I want to talk this morning about the importance of obedience. The importance of obedience. You can be turning to Mark chapter 16 as we get underway this morning. And as you're doing that, I want to quote a few verses for you. Jesus said on the night of his betrayal, Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say well, for so I am. Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say well, for so I am. How many of you this morning call Jesus Lord and Master? Well, I also do. To be Lord and Master means that he's in charge, doesn't it? It means that he's in control. It means that he is sovereign, that he's supreme, that he is the master and the controller of my life. At least that's the profession that we make when we call Jesus Lord and Master. In the next chapter, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." And so, in relationship to Jesus being the Lord and Master, there is this thing of obedience. If Jesus is our Lord and Master, then it would be implied that we ought to be obedient to him in our lives. That he ought to be the one who is sovereign over our lives. He is the one who controls our lives. We yield ourselves to him by the very fact that he is our Lord and our Master. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and it's a question that we all need to consider, those of us who call Jesus Lord and Master. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say?" That's a contradiction, isn't it? We say, Lord, Master, Controller, the one who is sovereign over my life, the one whose commandments and word I am to follow in my life. And he says to me, then, why do you not do those things which I say? And I am caught without an answer. I become guilty because I claim that he's my Lord and I claim that he's my Savior, but do I always do those things that he says? Do I always do those things he commands? Do I love him spotlessly so that I can say, I obey your commandments? And I fall short. How about you? This morning, I want to talk about the importance of obedience, as I mentioned. Obviously, we ought to be obedient to the Lord so that we might glorify the Lord. As Christians, as those who claim him as Lord, and if we claim him as Lord, we claim him as Savior. As those who claim him as Lord and Savior, we ought to obey him and live for him, of course, so we might glorify him and honor him, so that we might be a testimony to his greatness, to his majesty, to his love, to his goodness, to his redemption. We ought to glorify him in our lives. That's an obvious answer. This morning, I want to talk about a couple of practical things, a couple of practical reasons concerning why we ought to be obedient to the Lord and why obedience is so important. I'm primarily talking to Christians this morning. Our congregation this morning is, I'm sure, primarily made up of those who claim to be Christian, those who claim to have accepted Christ and who follow him in their lives. And I want to point out this morning, just reminding you, of the practical importance of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to begin in Mark chapter 16 by just giving you some scripture that become an example for us to demonstrate what I want you to see this morning, at least in one point. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it's after the resurrection of the Lord, and it's shortly before he ascends back into heaven, and he is giving his last words to the church. And in verse 15, he says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that is a command of the Lord. That is a command of the Lord. He says, this is what I want you to do. I'm going back to heaven, but in my absence, this is what I want you to do, church. I want you to go into all of the world, and I want you to preach the gospel to every single creature. Preach the word, preach the gospel. That's my command to you. Well, now, if Jesus is Lord, what ought to be done? We ought to be going into the world and doing what? Preaching the gospel. Why? Because he's Lord, he's master. He has given us a command. Now, notice what happened. Notice what happened in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And now notice verse 20, very important. And they did what? What? They went forth and what? Preached where? Everywhere. He said, go into the world, preach the gospel to everybody. What did they do? They obeyed. They obeyed. They were obedient. They were obedient. You see? They were obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He had given them a command. He said, do this. And they did that. They obeyed. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Amen. But now I want you to see the practical side of it. This is what I'm getting at this morning. You're wondering, where is he going with all of this? Notice what else happens. Notice what else happens now. He gave the command as the Lord and Master. They submitted themselves to their Lord and Master. They obeyed him, and they began to do what he had told them to do. Now, notice what happens next. The Lord doing what? Working with them. The Lord working with them. Now, do you see what happened there? They were obedient. And because they were obedient, what happened? The presence and the power of the Lord was with them in their lives to enable them to do what God had commanded them. Now, what would have happened if they wouldn't have been obedient? What would have happened if they would have said, well, you know what, let's go home and pray about this. Let's go home and discuss it. Let's go home and have a dialogue about it. Let's go home and see if this is even possible. You know, this is a big command. This is a big thing. We better go home and we better discuss it and see if we're able to carry this out. And then we probably ought to stop and get a plan. And then we probably ought to see if we have the resources and blah, 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 blah. That's kind of the way sometimes we obey. The Lord says, get up and do this, and we start to be like Moses and make up all the excuses that we can think of on why we probably can't do it the way he wants it done. What I want you to see this morning is this, folks, simply this. There's some very practical things that are beneficial to you and I as we learn how to obey the Lord, as we learn how to really let him be Lord in our life, as we learn how to submit to the Lord and follow him. In other words, what I'm basically saying to us is this, and in obeying the Lord, we not only lift up and magnify and glorify the Lord, which we should be doing, but in obeying the Lord, we are benefiting ourselves. We are benefiting ourselves. Now listen, let me ask you a question. How many of you want the enablement of God in your lives? How many of you need the enablement of God in your lives? And by enablement, I mean his power, his grace, his love. Everything that we need in order to live our Christian life successfully and victoriously and joyfully and gladly and effectively and fruitfully. How many of you need God's blessing in your life for that? But I want you to know something this morning, that if we want these things in our lives to any degree, it's going to call upon us to be obedient to the Lord. Because it is in and through obedience that the Lord is able to bless us. It is in and through obedience that the Lord is able to give us the provision in our life that we need to be able to live victoriously and to be the kind of people we want to be, to experience the Lord and to be fruitful for God. We cannot be disobedient to the Lord and expect the power of His presence to be with us. We can't expect that. And now these people were obedient to the Lord. They went forth to do what the Lord told them to do. And you can read in the book of Acts how God blessed them because they were being obedient to the Lord. And God was able to bless them. Now take your Bible with me, and I need to pick up some speed here. Ephesians chapter 3, please. Very quickly, go to Ephesians in chapter 3 in your Bible. And I want you to look at a verse that we've looked at many times. But I want to look at it again because it's one of those verses that you can't overdo. In fact, this whole portion here in Ephesians chapter 3 is so important because it tells us what is available for us as God's people. In Ephesians chapter 3, and if you look, please, at just verse 20 today, it says, "Now unto him that is able." We've got a God that's able, folks. We've got a God that's more than able. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Aren't you glad that we have a God like that? Now, look at the availability of this great power. "According to the power that does" what? "Works in us." According to the power that works in us. Now stop and give that some thought. Now you see, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, washed in the blood, you're saved, regenerated, you have God's presence. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, dwells in you. You know that if you're a Christian. The Spirit of God dwells in you. We have the presence of the Lord in us, every single one of us who know the Lord. The Bible calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live within us when we are saved. But now listen. What we want now is we want the manifestation of that presence in our lives. You understand what I'm saying? What we need now, God dwells in us, God lives in us. And when we talk about the power of God that is within us, I want you to understand that's talking about everything that we need. As some of you are sitting here this morning, you say, "I wish I had more faith. I wish I had more love. I wish I had more patience. I wish I had more determination. I wish I had more resistance against temptation. I wish I had this and I wish I had that and I wish I had the other thing." I want you to know, if you're a Christian, you've got everything you need. We have everything we need. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're the temple of the Spirit of God. We're the temple of God. We have God dwelling in us. And if we have God dwelling in us, we have His power. We have everything that He is and everything that He can do and all of His ability. We have that taking up residence in us also. But it is a big difference between having God taking up residence in us and you and I experiencing and enjoying and manifesting the power and the richness and the fullness of the God who resides in us. You understand? You see? Now, what we want to be able to do is we want to be able in our lives to be able to experience that power. We want to be able to experience that fullness. We want to be able to express in our lives that enablement that we need in order to be victorious. And I want you to understand that obedience is essential to that. Obedience, surrendered obedience to our God, to our Lord, is essential to that. We cannot live ungodly, indifferent, worldly, sometimes sinful, selfish lives in disobedience to our God and expect to experience the fullness of that power and enablement, that grace that God has placed in us. Don't you see, it would be against the nature and the character of God to express His fullness in us if we were disobedient and worldly and indifferent and disinterested and ungodly and sometimes just downright wicked in our lives. Can't do it. He just can't do it. And sometimes you look at somebody who's surrendered to the Lord and living for the Lord and enjoying the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, and they seem to have blessings and power and enablement, and they're serving the Lord and fruitful for the Lord and all the rest of it. And we look at them and we say, my Christian life is not like theirs. How come their Christian life is like that? Mine's not like that. Well, let me ask you a question. How obedient are you to the one that you call Lord and Master? How obedient are you? Are you surrendered to His will? Are you surrendered to His word? Is He really your Lord? Is He really your Master? Do you really love Him? Do you really keep His word, His commandments? You see? Take your Bible and go back with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, very quickly in chapter 14, if you would. Chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 21 and following, but mostly verse 21. Notice what he says. This is Jesus speaking. Now, become Bible students. Follow with me carefully. He that hath my commandments. Let's look upon the commandments of the Lord Jesus as all of those things that He has taught us that we ought to submit to and do in our lives. We're not talking about the Mosaic law here. We're talking about the Word of Christ. All of the things that He has taught us about how to live, how we should love each other, how we should be godly, how we should be light, all of these things. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You see, listen to me, folks. Listen carefully now. Obedience is the primary proof of our love for Christ. Obedience is the primary proof of our love for Christ. Jesus says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now notice this carefully now. And I will love him. Now notice this now. Don't miss this. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me. And my Father will love him, and I will love him. And I will come unto him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. What does that mean, that he will manifest himself to you? Well, it means this: he'll make himself known to you. Because you love him, and because you're obedient to him, and because you allow him to be Lord and Master in your life, he's going to do something special for you. He's going to do something for you. He's going to manifest himself to you. He's going to allow you to know him in a way that you couldn't know him otherwise. He's going to allow you to experience him in your life in ways that others will not know of, who are not obedient. Because you love him and keep his commandments, because you honor him, because you're faithful and true to him, he's going to manifest himself to you. Oh, he's come. He's come in your salvation. He's come to live within you. He's come to dwell within you. But now, as you surrender to him and as he is Lord of your life, and as you follow him and obey him and strive to serve him and please him and lift him up and glorify him, now he's going to make himself known to you in exceptional ways. You're going to be able to experience him. You're going to be able to experience that life that is in you. And you're going to begin to experience that abundant life. You're going to be able to experience the love. You're going to be able to experience all of the joy and all of the gladness. And you're going to have the power and all of the strength and grace that you need to be able to be one of those victorious Christians that you've been looking at all around. Because you've come to a place in your life in which you've said, Lord, no longer am I going to let the flesh rule. No longer am I going to let indifference rule. No longer am I going to let sin rule. No longer am I going to be a friend of the world. No longer am I going to be this kind of a Christian. No longer am I going to be a half-hearted Christian straddling the fence with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. No longer, Lord, no longer. I'm going to surrender to you. You're going to be my Lord. You're going to be my Master, and Jesus is going to say to you, now you're going to really experience me. Now you're really going to know what it is to live as a Christian. Now you're going to really understand what it is to have power in your life. Now you're not only going to have to pretend like you've got joy, you're going to have some. Now you're just not going to talk like a Christian. Now you're going to experience what it's like to be a Christian. Now it's going to become real. Ooh, what a difference, huh? What a difference. What a difference. Now you're really going to know what it's like to have peace that passes understanding. Now you're going to know these things because I'm going to manifest myself to you. And you're going to have a power in your life that you haven't experienced before. Now, it's that life I told you about that's going to flow out of your innermost being like rivers of living waters. Now you're going to know what that's all about. You see? But do you see, dear people, do you see, dear Christians, do you see, beloved brothers and sisters, how important obedience is? He's not going to manifest himself to you in that way if you don't keep his word. If you don't love him, if he's really, after all, not your Lord, you're not going to experience those things. So this matter of obedience has a real practical side to it, doesn't it? It really does. It has a real practical side to it. It's not only glorifying to God to be obedient, but it enables us to have victory. Now, let me press on here very quickly. In John chapter 14, just stay here, and look at verse 13 with me, if you would, please. John chapter 14 and verse 13. Let's take it a step farther. In verse 13, Jesus says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Whoa. That just about knocks you out of your seat, doesn't it? "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But notice what he says next. "If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. How many of you would like to have a more effective prayer life? I think we all would. If you're a Christian, well, you should be praying. I think we all pray, and I think we would all like to have a more effective prayer life. How in the world do you get to the place where you can have such confidence in your prayers that you are just sure that God hears you and God's going to take up your cause and God is going to do something for you? It may not be just in exactly the same way that you think or that you're asking, but God is hearing you, and you're confident of that. God loves you. God cares. He's there for you, and he's going to take up your cause, and he's going to do something. He's going to come to your aid in one way or another. Ah. Do you know that the apostles had that? Look at 1 John chapter 3 with me. 1 John chapter 3. This is one of my favorite verses. It's almost overwhelming. It's almost overwhelming. 1 what the apostle John says. And tie it with what we've just read back in the Gospel of John. In chapter 3 and verse 22, notice what he says. Everybody got it? I still hear pages flipping. 1 John 3:22. It says this. This is the Apostle John speaking. "And whatsoever we ask," he's talking about prayer, "whatsoever we ask in prayer," notice this now, "we receive of him." Whoa. Anybody be able to say that? That must be hyperbole. What does that mean? That must be an overstatement. That must be an exaggeration. Certainly John can't claim that. I don't know. That's what he wrote. That's what he said. Well, how can he be so confident about that? How does he come to that place? Look at the rest of the verse. He says, "Because," here's the reason, "because we do what? Keep his commandments." And let's go a step farther and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John says, we have power in prayer. We have power in prayer because of the fact that we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He says, when I lift up my hands and I pray to Almighty God, I know he hears me. And I know he cares, and I know he's there. And I know he's going to act on my behalf. I know he's going to do something for me. I have no doubt about that. Why is that? Because I keep his commandments, and I do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I am obedient to him. I'm faithful. I love him with all of my heart, and I serve him with all of my heart, and I strive with all of my heart to please him, to keep his commandments, to do those things that he desires of me. And when I go to him in prayer as an obedient, surrendered child, I know he's there. And I know he hears. And I know he cares. And I know he's going to act on my behalf. I know that. You see, dear person, obedience brings power to prayer. You see how practical obedience is? It's such a practical thing. God doesn't want to be, listen, I think that sometimes as Christians we look at really sold out complete obedience to God as something that God demands of us that is that is there to rob us. If I'm totally sold out to God, if I'm completely obedient to God, if I strive in my life to be pleasing to God in every area of my life at all times, boy, I'm going to miss out on something. I'm going to miss out on something. I'm going to have to stop this. I'm going to have to give up that. I can't go here anymore. I can't do this anymore. Well, don't you think that maybe God's telling you something, if you're thinking like that? That maybe you shouldn't go there? Maybe you should give that up? Maybe that's not the right thing? Maybe that's why your life is what it is? Maybe that's why you're kind of messed up? You see, dear people, God, obedience to God is not God's expression of wrath towards us. It's God's expression of love towards us. He says, if you're obedient to me, I can bless you. If you're obedient to me, I can enable you and I can make myself known to you, and you can experience things in your life as a Christian that you've never experienced before, in depths that you've never experienced before. I don't want you to be obedient so I can torment you. I want you to be obedient so I can bless you. Obedience, what a practical thing it is. What a practical thing it is. God calls us to obedience, dear people. God calls us to obedience. Just to obey his word. And there's nothing in his word that we could obey that could possibly harm us. What is there that could harm us? What has he told us to do that would harm us, hurt us, make our life worse? You see? Obedience. What a wonderful thing it is. How many of you, just in your own heart, would say, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Help me to be obedient. I know there are areas that are weak. Oh, hey, listen, we're all made out of flesh and blood, aren't we? We're all made out of flesh and blood. Me too. Me too. How many of you thought this morning when you woke up, you know, I think I'll just sleep in? Huh? After all, they'll have church again next Sunday. Hey, we all struggle with areas. We all do, because we're flesh and blood. But dear people, I just want to impress upon you this morning how important it is to strive for obedience in your life as a Christian. Now, we may fall short from time to time, But let's not fall short as a habit. Let's not fall short just because of indifference. Let's not fall short because we're just giving in to the flesh. Let's not fall short because we're letting the world creep in and we're getting attached to things that we shouldn't be attached to. And the robbing us of what God has for us. You understand? The more disobedient we are to our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we are letting the world and the flesh and the devil rob us of what God has for us. When we love Him and strive to follow Him and obey Him, surrender to His word, do those things that please Him, separate ourselves from ungodliness and worldliness, as Ephesians puts it, as we determine to follow our God as dear children. It says, follow the Lord, follow God as dear children. How many of you know the difference between dear children and rather rambunctious children? Huh? Yeah. Those of us who are old, we were all rambunctious children at one time. That's putting it probably nicely. But how much better it is to have dear children. God wants dear children, you see, that love Him and follow Him. And when you do that, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to profit from that. You're going to profit because the Lord is going to be able to bless you. He's going to be able to express His life through you. And that's what Christianity is all about. Christ-likeness, Jesus Christ indwelling us and expressing His life through us. His life is the real life. And when we begin to come to that place in our life where we're expressing the joy of the Lord and the gladness of the Lord and the power of the Lord and the love of the Lord and the fullness of the Lord and all of these things, then our Christian life really becomes our Christian life. It's Christ's life. Christian life is Christ's life. But that is quenched. The Bible calls it quenching the Spirit. It is quenched when we're in disobedience. So in your heart this morning, in your heart this morning, bow and say, Lord, help me to love You and to show that love by obedience. Help me to be obedient to Your word, to Your will, to Your way. Give me the strength and the enablement to be obedient, that I might experience You in Your fullness. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Let's sing it out from our hearts. If you're here this morning and we can help you in your spiritual life, if you need somebody to talk to share your burdens with, to pray with, if you will let us know, you can come down and just say, Pastor, I need to talk to somebody, and we'll have somebody talk to you and pray with you. If you just want to come down to the altar, just come down to our altar up here. We call these steps our altar. If you just want to come down and bow down here and pray and pour your heart out to God, please do that. Don't let embarrassment or fear stop you from doing that. Just come and pray. Just do whatever God is telling you to do. If we can be of any help, please let us know. Let's sing 463.
Oh,
of three in just a moment. I just want to give one more plea of invitation. If somebody's here this morning, and, you know, I've mostly spoken to Christians this morning, but if you're here this morning and you can't say for sure that you know that when you die you're going to go to heaven, if you've never come to a place in your life where you have come to Christ and trusted Him and received Him as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead, we would love to be able to get together with you and show you out of the Bible how you can know for certain that your sins are forgiven, and when you die, you'll go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. We would love to show you that. You can know that. You can know that for certain. And we'd love to be able to show you that. So speak to us. You can come forward. If you don't want to do that, you can speak to us after the service. You can call us during the week. But we'd love to be able to show you how you can know for sure that you're saved, that you're going to heaven. So we're going to sing one more stanza. If God's spoken to your heart, or we can be of any to your heart, and we can be of help, please respond as we sing stanza three.
Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still my prayer shall be, O love, O Christ, to thee.
Thank you for coming this morning. And once again, if Pastor Randy or Pastor Caleb or myself can be of any help to you in your spiritual life, in your Christian life, or if you want to know more about being a Christian, you want to know more about coming to Christ, we'd really be glad to get together with you and talk with you and pray with you. And so just let us know if you would, please. Thanks for coming this morning. We invite you back for the service tonight. Pastor Randy will be speaking tonight. And I know he has a good message for you tonight. I don't know what it is, but it's on what? Confession. All right, it's on confession. So come prepared tonight to confess. All right, good. All right. I'm not feeling well. I'm not sure if I'll be here tonight or not. But. No, I don't want to. I shouldn't do that. That's a very important subject, a very important subject. We need to take it very seriously. All right, God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we want to thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the wonderful provision that you have made for us by your grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the presence of Christ. We thank you, Father, for the grace, the enablement, the provision that you give to us. We thank you, Father, for the power of the life of Christ within us. And we pray, Lord, that we might have a desire, we might have a heart to strive to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Father, you might be able to bless us abundantly above that which we can expect even. So I thank you for each one that is here this morning. Bless each life. I pray, God, that you might put your hand upon each one, and that, God, you might lift them up and bless them and just give them those things in their life that they need, that they might live life abundantly. And I would thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.